Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 30th of January, recording at an early 4:42 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Recording early because I do have a function here, but there's plenty to comment on. And first, a quick review. In stock markets, Japan actually managed to extend Friday's terrific advance, and that carried the Nikkei and topics to new highs for this move overall, though not the second section. Now, Japan did close on the low of the days, but it was still up on the day, which I think is more important overall. In elsewhere in Asia, mostly a bit quiet, although we had a good gain on South Korea today. Japan and South Korea remain my two favorite industrial-based stock markets for the very long term. In the bond markets, US bonds slipping a little bit further in here today, and have a look at the JGBs that Owen has put up in comment of the day in the chart review section. So these government bonds, well, I was going to do the review. Let me come back to the government bonds. Just a review of highlights, that is. Precious metals strong, and industrial metals pretty firm, also after some earlier setbacks. And natural gas, certainly better, up 383 points, and noticeably against a background of crude a little bit lower, but it's not yet showing a convincing dynamic, but it's certainly still overstretched on the downside and losing some momentum. Okay, let's go back to stock markets here overall. Now, the point I want to mention is that the lows that we saw last week or the week before, whichever were closer, those are hugely significant technically, in my view, given that this is a very late stage, in my view, of the overall stock market cycle. We're heading into the 34th month of this rally overall. The US interest rates are still rising. The oil price is within striking distance of the Katrina highs. And we have evidence of some slowdown in the US economy and so on. So this is not a time to be complacent. Now, that doesn't mean that stock markets aren't strong and that it isn't worth hanging around and enjoying that strength. That's exactly what I'm doing in my favorite areas, which are Asian emerging markets and the resources sector. But I don't become more bullish with each notch on the upside. I feel it's just fulfilled a bit more of the short to medium term upside potential overall. But we don't need to worry much, let alone get into spasms of anxiety, as long as those lows, I say that we saw last week or the week before, whichever are lower, as long as those are not being challenged, let alone broken by major indices, then we still have more evidence, far more evidence of technical strength than weakness. Now, a few of the minor emerging markets are showing a mixed performance, and we see that from the Middle East through Eastern Europe, but I'm not taking those as lead indicators overall. I certainly do regard Japan and South Korea's important lead indicators, as is Australia in here, and then I don't want to see a deterioration of the Nasdaq, let alone any of the US indices, say taking out those recent lows. Okay, so that's what we want to watch and pay attention to, and meanwhile we can enjoy this additional rally that's taking place. And I say, as I said, I think a moment ago, that it's particularly strong in the resources sector. And I notice the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, for instance, another strong day in here, up at least 6 pence. And yet it still shows a discount to net asset value of nearly 9%. So I'm happy to hold that position, and I could probably justify raising stops a little bit further, although I'm not going to crowd it. I'll risk a chunk of the paper profit that I've got in that situation rather than jam the stops right up tightly. Whether that's a good decision or not will remain to be seen. Okay, now the government bonds. I do think this is important because if you look at the charts in the library, whether you look at the charts of the bond futures, and you don't want to be looking at the dailies, you want to be looking at the weeklies, I would say, on that, or the PNFs. And if you also look at the long-dated government bond yields, and again, I would look on the long-term charts, well, the futures prices are going to show what to me looks very much like type 3 top formation development, and therefore the yields are going to be showing evidence of type 3 bottom formation development. Now, so what? Well, the so what is that I maintain that markets are complacent about the risk in government bonds because they've just been ranging sideways, and I think that was predictable given all the forecasts of deflation and all the fear of deflation and all the confusion over deflation versus inflation because of the very obvious deflationary pressures that we've seen all along coming out of China, largely in the manufacturing sector. But if you look at costs in other areas, as I've said over and over again, we are seeing some rip-roaring inflation. And you know about all the money printing that has taken place from all the central banks, not just the Fed. And that certainly is inflationary over the longer term. So my feeling is that it's at some point, and probably not in the too very distant future, although that's hard to gauge, but at some point, it's just a given that we get a major slump in government long-dated government bond prices. In other words, a spike upwards in long-dated government bond yields. And the very beginning of that move may actually help stock markets a little bit as you get a shifting of some short-term capital from bonds into equities, but it will very rapidly create an extremely strong headwind for global stock markets. What might prompt that? Well, it would probably be inflation fears, whether justified or not, over the on a short to medium term basis. So again, we want to watch those government bonds very closely. I could really justify a short position in that sector. Why don't I have it on? Well, because there are more things that look like potential plays, and we try to comment on them all. But there are more things that look like plays than I think any one of us are going to want to actually have in our overall portfolio. In other words, if I looked at every single different market and said, well, I can justify a long or a short position here or there, I would wind up having, well, a minimum of 500 positions, and I certainly don't want that. It's hard enough to keep my eye on a dozen or two. So again, we want to act, or I want to act, like the judge in an international beauty contest in terms of selecting possibilities for my portfolio, and I like to concentrate in an area that is performing for me. Okay, enough of that relevant digression. U.S. dollar had a pretty good rally last week. This is going to be choppy all along, and I think we're seeing some short covering in terms of people who had shorted the dollar on its way down from the November highs. A little bit of covering before we get Greenspan's final statement and the handover of reins at the Fed. And of course, the trend of short-term interest rates is still working in favor of the US dollar. But of course, we know, or we certainly suspect, most of us suspect that we are on the crest of the egg, as it were, in terms of the US interest rate rises. In other words, we're late in the stage. We know we're probably not going to get more than another rate hike or two, and so people are already beginning to look over the top of this rise in interest rates towards a plateau phase, and quite probably a plateau phase followed by some downward action. I personally have no interest in trading the currencies right now. That's not something that I have said very often over my long career in this field, but we're just getting little choppy moves as the Forex market players, the people who have got to trade those things, try to create some action for themselves. But the time duration of these moves is becoming shorter and shorter. And I am very strongly of the view that the investment community, or an increasing proportion of the investment community, and I expect this to eventually be a near total conversion, is regarding the precious metals as the only hard stores of wealth, not the paper money. So a lot of people who, well, like myself, for instance, who used to be quite active in the Forex markets, are now saying, no, this is less interesting. I just want to run some of these big theme secular trends in the precious metals. And my goodness, we had some good moves in here today. Day's not over. But gold's currently up $5. And that's the spot gold at 564.60. And we've had a bonanza performance here in silver, currently 981. That's up near the high of the day. Terrific. That's a terrific move. And we've got platinum. That's a new high, needless to say, for silver. So moving in on this $10 sort of psychological level, I'll take a few profits around there. And we also see platinum. Now that's 1080 in here right now. It's up 7.3, and that's another new all-time high for platinum. Not an all-time high for silver, of course, just an all-time high, just a high for this move that started a few years ago. Platinum in the bad old days of that lunatic Nelson Bunker Hunt briefly touched $50. I beg your pardon, silver, did I say platinum? Silver briefly touched $50 back in the Nelson Bunker Hunt days, and I think we'll get back there before this long-term move is over, but that could be 5 years to 15 away. And well, they're all quite strong. Now, some interesting action in some of the industrial metals. One of the best ones, and I wish I was long this. Owen is, fortunately, the LME tin. Good chart overall. That had been one of the laggards. Zinc and not zinc. Zinc did done spectacularly well, but tin and nickel had been the laggards in here, and both have been moving up in recent weeks. And tin is seeing a lot of, well, so is nickel. They're seeing a lot of intraday, what I consider intraday consolidations. And in other words, tin, for instance, earlier today, it was down, the 3 month price was down at 7,450. That was down a couple of hundred on the day. Now it's currently up on the day and near the highs of the day. It's only at $5 on the day, but that's a terrific sort of intraday consolidation, which prevents the market from becoming overextended on long positions. People are jumping in and jumping out overall, prevents a short-term overbought condition of any consequence from developing. And I think we will definitely see new all-time highs for both nickel and tin this year. Both of those are in excellent form, really, and this is being reflected in the performances that we're seeing for mining shares, of course, and the other metals have been exceptionally strong, although taking a little bit of a breather in here today, copper, but it's only down a tiny bit, and still has a very good pattern overall. And oil pushed up earlier today, the crude oil NYME pushed up to 68.42 early this morning, but has then come back and is currently 67.52. I would expect some to-ing and fro-ing, ranging near current levels. A lot of people are talking about the situation in Nigeria. I think the hostages were released, four hostages, and that might have helped oil to come off a little bit. And then they're talking about the Iranian situation. The Iranian situation is extremely important politically overall, but I think people are exaggerating the extent to which this is fueling the oil price rise. It's very much a demand-driven move, this overall. So I don't think there's a big premium in terms of Iran or Nigeria or anything else. And I do expect much higher oil prices at some point later this year. And of course, that will be another very big headwind for stock markets. But for now, though, we can still enjoy this stock market rally while it lasts. That's it, folks. All the best.